Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Man Baggage. This is the safe space, or unsafe, depending on who you are, area where I empty my man baggage of insights into your ears, and the sticky insights stay somewhere in your brain, hopefully. We cover all manner of subjects. Yes, we're in the area of getting blokes to talk. By the way, do check in with each other, lads. We're post-COVID now. I'm guessing men are worse, not better, at checking in each other because we've discovered the WhatsApp message as a holdall. Dave split up with his wife. I wonder if he's suicidal. I'll just send a picture of a goat being wanked off and a smiley face. That's that problem dealt with. It's not, actually. Maybe give him a phone or pop round for a beer. If someone doesn't want to check in, do you know what you do then? It's quite simple. Check in again. Every single man I know has to be checked in 2, 3, 4, 5 times before you even get close to what's bugging him. That's my tip of the day. So that's the area we're in. Don't switch off. We're not heavy. There's no cardigans. There's no biscuit dipping. No one's going to stand up in a circle and talk about self-harming. All of those things are at the edge of what we're talking about. We're using banter and humour. That's what I do for a night job. I say cock into a microphone and get paid. So I like to bring humour together with some of these subjects that are not easy to talk about because you just don't see it. It's a lot of chin stroking and seriousness. And sometimes, particularly with me, if something's heavy's going on, chin stroking doesn't help me. It makes me close up more. It's not for everyone, that approach, but it's definitely for most blokes I know. Fucking welcome, lads. So I'm jumping into the head of a fellow comedian this week. Now, obviously, back in the real world, pre-Bat Sandwich, I'd have 2 or 3 blokes and I'd be going into their heads. So the pressure is on comedian Travis J, as I only have one male head to analyse today. And you've got a show to plug as well, haven't you?
Yes, that's right, yeah. So November 12th, my headline show, Travis J Live at the Bloomsbury Theatre. I cannot wait for the show, bro. Like, you know when you've got like a show ready in the tuck? Like, I've just been perfecting this material for like most of lockdown and I'm itching to go. So get your tickets, people. Get to the Bloomsbury Theatre website and get your tickets now.
I feel like we worked together really recently on something. I can't remember what it was. Was it stand-up? It wasn't
stand-up. Stand-up sketch show, was it? Yeah.
Right, great. So if you want to see that, I'm in it as well. It's ITV2. It's where people like Travis and myself do stand-up on stage, but then it intercuts with a sketch realisation of what we're talking about. So you see the sketch of it brought to life. But the twist is we're in our own sketches, miming the words that we spoke in front of a live audience. So it's a genre mashup. So catch Travis in that. It's ITV2. That's coming out later in the year. Normally it comes on around January, that. And we couldn't just have blokes talking to each other because, sadly, men drift into sexist generalisations and, well, you know what birds think. Well, actually, turns out we don't most of the time, which is why I get trolled to death on Twitter every single week one of these comes out. So I always need a female auditor, a strong presence to make sure we're not chatting shy, as my wife would say. And this week, I'm joined by Kelechi Okafor. Welcome,
hi.
Podcaster extraordinaire. What are you working on at the moment? Tell us where we can find you.
You can find me on @Kelechnikov, always tweeting up a storm, and on Instagram stories. I live on Instagram stories, really, just talking about current affairs and pop culture and just effing and blinding.
Are you telling me that your Instagram handle is Kelechnikov, like the Russian rifle?
Exactly like that.
Lovely. I tell you what, if you was my missus, I'd be getting in from the pub on time. What's your missus' nickname? Kelechnikov. You better leave, Dave. Put the pint down and fuck off. Okay, it's funny we should talk about Kalashnikovs and fierce energy because that's what I want to talk about today and all the stereotypes that come with fierce energy, confrontation. Now, confrontation is a tricky subject, and confrontation is something that has been in decline and rising in the last 2 years. It's been in decline in that we haven't been face to face enough to sort things out and get words out there. And it's been an acceleration, as I feel like confrontation with strangers has increased when you see someone not in a mask or pushing their trolley the wrong way around a supermarket. Incidentally, I'm not prejudiced against any group of people, but if you are of able and sound mind and you travel the different way to an arrow and scare an old lady in a supermarket, out of the food chain, please. But anyway, that's a perfect example of when confrontation happens, queue jumping at a supermarket. But what is confrontation? Well, I looked it up and it says a hostile or argumentative situation or meeting between two opposing parties. Not as simple as it might sound, because that's the definition we expected, but it can also mean confronting something that needs confronting. A fear, a phobia, an infidelity. You're sometimes confronting things within yourself. So we'll get onto all those nuances later. But I'm going to start Kalechnikov with the most difficult question of all. Are men more confrontational than women or less? I know what I think.
I think that men are societally asked to be more confrontational because that's part of, like, quote unquote, masculinity, isn't it? Like, oh, if you've got a problem, just say it. But I don't actually know if men do say it. Whereas women, they're told to, like, be nice. Yeah. You know, and I always say that I'm not nice. Like, I'm kind, but I'm not nice. So I think amongst each other,
I'm just trying to imagine that. What's that? Come in for some hot soup. I will punch you in the face. Now, save up for a house. How's the soup?
Kind, but not nice.
It's hard to get your hand in it.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like women are confrontational amongst each other. Men, I think they're asked to be, but they're not really.
Yeah, I mean, Travis, that's, I've asked around. There's the females in my family are all next door drinking tea in their cauldron cups. And the overwhelming opinion of all the females, aunties, daughters, cousins in my family is that men are less confrontational. Save it, don't say it. And then it erupts in something verbally or physically violent at the end. Whereas more women, not all, obviously, are more likely to be, excuse me, better out than in, going to tell you how I feel. I will tell you how I feel. I'm sorry, why be fake? Blah, blah, blah. Whereas a man, bury head, uppercut.
Yes. It's so true. Because it's like, I think men know the price of, like, confrontation between men is almost always violence. Mm-hmm. So it's like they kind of leave that to be the last resort. So it's like, look, if I just ignore it, if I just manage it, once it gets to that line, that's when it's like, bruv, we doing? And it's rarely ever the type of confrontation that could ever end peacefully. Whereas I think women are good at confronting at the early stage where it is resolvable still.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But the one dynamic where I say women are more confrontational is if you go out to eat and somehow they've messed up your order as her boyfriend.
Mate, we did complaining last week, and complaining leads to confronting.
Listen, as a man, I'm hungry. So when this food comes, I'm like, you know what? Cool. It's not the chicken, it's the steak. I'll roll with it. Nah, bruv, my girlfriend is never having it.
Also, Travis, admit it. You're a spineless, cowardly man. You don't want to complain and make a scene. It's time to admit that shit. I'll admit
it. Just a little bit.
But my partner's so different because he confronts people all the time. Taxi drivers, or even if we, like, he's the kind of person, like, if the order is wrong, no, he's like, excuse me, in a Polish accent. Like, come and take this back right now.
See, my thing is, if it's affecting both of us, me and my girlfriend, I'm making a big deal out of it. But if it's just me, I'm such a laid-back individual.
Leave it alone. It's no big deal. Lindsay always gets involved on my behalf. They're treating you like shit, Russell. Yeah. They're taking the piss out of you. They've sent the chicken and not the steak. You're spending a lot of money. It doesn't matter, Liz. It does fucking matter. It's the principle. And she's off.
Yes. Oh, that's my favourite. It's the principle. It's the literally principle of it all. That's my favourite line.
So Kel, seeing as I'm from Essex, that's now your name. And Kel and Trav is just too tempting. Somebody from a 70s sitcom. But Kel, I noticed you just dropped the word Polish in there. So is there a I wasn't going to go so early with the cultural element. In fact, I wanted to finish on that. But let's go there. Mm-hmm. So you're... fella is Polish, is he?
Yeah.
So I do wonder if there's a cultural element. If you've grown up on these islands, particularly if you've grown up in the English part of these islands, repression is turned up to 10, particularly in men. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's different if you're a Polish man.
Yeah, but then he's got like his brothers, and they're not like that at all. Like, they're just so calm. I feel like sometimes it is the individual. I'm a woo-woo chick, so I love astrology and tarot and all of those things there. And I feel like it does come down a lot of times to individual energy. Like, I'm ruled by Mars and my chart, so I'm always warring. I wake up ready. So I feel like he's very similar in that way as well.
How did you ever pull? How? Imagine that on the first date. Just to warn you, I'm under Mars. I'm always warring, and my nickname's Krasnikov. I'll have the dough balls, please.
I love the way you just casually said, "I'm ruled by Mars." Like,
you know what I mean? What the fuck?
Balance.
It's a tricky subject. I mean, culturally, there are some stereotypes around women, aren't there? Particularly women from different backgrounds. There's a stereotype, for example, for our listeners' benefit, they might not know what backgrounds we're all from, but I'm going to ask you this, Kalechi. It's not a loaded question, but this, as a friend of mine, she's spoken about it, another comedian, the sort of fierce black woman stereotype. Yeah. That must cause you to question when you want to be confrontational. I know we're going heavy early, listeners. Don't panic. We'll do U-turn in a sec.
We'll wheel it back. No, that's actually my remit. The angry black woman trope is one that I've been writing about recently. I feel like a lot of black women need to reclaim that narrative because it's kind of used against us in society, so we don't do it. So a lot of black women can be vexed and they're not going to show it because they don't want that. Like, they can just, there could be something that they do need to speak up about, especially in the workplace, and they want to say something, and then the next minute your colleague's crying and all you said was, could you not put the tea bag on the left, could you just maybe put it back, or maybe not eat my food in the fridge. And once everyone's crying, then you're the angry aggressive black woman. But actually, there is so much historically to be angry about, so I say lean into it, which is what has helped my platform grow and why I chose the name Kalechnikov, because I, you know, as Kalechnikov, because to me it's just like, I'm angry, I have every reason to be, but that doesn't mean I'm not funny as fuck. That doesn't mean I'm not like joyful and peaceful. But if anybody wants it, they can definitely get it. And I think that
your energy is the best. It starts getting really sensitive and soft. It's like, yeah, I'm really nice, but you know, I'm on smoke as well, so the gun stays tucked. Don't play with me.
There might be someone called like Darren in Leeds listening to this going, right, so what's that mean for me? Well, it means the same thing, Darren from Leeds. Lean into what you're given. What a brilliant fucking bit of insight. You could be a shy ginger bloke from Aberdeen or an Italian man living in Plymouth. You cannot change the hand you've been given by class, ethnicity, whatever, whichever way you want to look at it. So why not lean in? You get it all the time with class. Just honestly, the way I sound, for example, when I was growing up, no one from my road went to university. No one from my postcode got an A-level, let alone... Soon as you try and say an intelligent sentence with my accent, people think it's not really an intelligent sentence. You're just doing like a Russell Brand. You've learnt a long word and want to show it off. They hear the Essex sound and they can't believe it's genuinely your thoughts. So the stereotype there based on the sound of my voice. Funnily enough, Lindsay, my wife, Travis, she's Northern. And I think they get a milder version of it. You know, if you're a Northern woman and you're complaining, you're an angry... You're an angry Northerner who's look, person from Liverpool or Manchester who can't contain their temper. There's a stereotype there. And again, if you really want to unpack this, Trav, you could say there's a lot to be angry about. All of the wealth of the country is stuffed in London.
No, that's true.
So, Trav, what do you think of all these stereotypes around culture and confrontation?
You know what's funny, right? It's like I'm aware of these. As a black man, you know, I've kind of carried this for a long time. You know what I mean? You put on your hood because it's raining and now all of a sudden you're just a gangster, like straight out the gate. There's no... Do you know what I mean? So I'm used to
just so
carrying
listeners
that.
Know why Kalechi's laughing. It's probably Travis's spectacles that made it. I'm going to come up to you and I'm going to tell you my favourite prime numbers. You better be scared, bitch.
Geeky gangster, bro. I ain't playing.
No, I'm going to attack you. Let me just roll my 20-sided dice.
Right before I fix this Rubik's Cube, it's over for you, Pat.
No, but it's what you're saying is serious, and it's every type of person listening to this will have their version of that.
Facts, do you know what I mean? So you deal with these little microaggressions, but what's funny about this is that I've never really kind of cared about the stereotypes. I've always just been like, listen, you can think what you want, I'm just going to do what I'm doing. But I think my pressure kind of has always kind of been from my dad and my perception of my dad, because I always looked up to my dad. And my dad grew up in around Essex, like East London, racist times years ago. So I've grown up hearing his stories of how he dealt with people coming up to him on the street and him having to be in so many physical situations. So because I've always kind of seen my dad as the type of man I want to be, if I find myself in a situation, it's almost like an undercurrent of, my dad wouldn't accept this. So I can't allow myself to accept this. So that is tends to be what makes me go, that's the line right there. Mm-hmm. So that pressure has not really been like a stereotype where I've tried to avoid being the angry black dude. I kind of don't really care. Like, even when I was at work, working in a professional space, I never adopted the work voice. Like, I take the piss out of it. But
you don't
I'm
have
like,
a work
nah.
voice.
Nah, delete that, man. I was like,
oh
that's
God.
Too much. It's like being two people.
But don't you think your life also yeah. would have been different if you had a posh voice? Don't you think posh people are allowed to get angrier? They are.
I'm sure the police come a bit faster when they phone as well.
Yeah. Excuse me, there's a break-in.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're talking about things that are prejudicial or inborn, but is confrontation inborn? I mean, you look at, I'm a parent. I don't know who amongst us are parents.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I remember when my baby first sat up 5 months old and in a circle with other babies, you could already see the Muhammad Ali's and the Mahatma Gandhi's and the Buddhas. It was evident. My daughter was going to be someone that did not take shit, even at 5 months, the way she moved the rattle.
The way she moved her rattle.
That's
no, hilarious. You go to take a toy off her and she's like, eh, compared to the other baby with a string of jewel, like, whatever you think, mummy, like being more placid. Because of the time we live in, Kalechi, everything you're saying is true, but we tend to lay culture and identity on everything. Every single fucking thing. And who can blame us? We live in a time of really interesting and exciting cultural conversations. But some shit must be inborn, surely. It's a mixture of nature. Some people are born confrontational.
Well, I don't know. I think that if we're talking about just as humans, there is your fight or flight mechanism. And for some people, it's stronger. Some people, it's not. But I think that that, again, comes down to the individual. Because my mum, for instance, doesn't like confrontation. But she knows that I've got enough smoke for anybody who wants it. So she will now. So I remember from when I was younger, like there was a neighbour that had a dog. And we lived in Peckham. And there was this neighbour that had a dog. And then my mum would be coming back from work. And then she'd call my mobile and be like, Kelechi, come outside. John, the dog is outside again. Come and see. Come and tell him to come and move this fucking dog. So she wouldn't do it. She would just wait at the car park.
Didn't know you grew up in Glasgow. That's amazing. That joke won't age well. Apologies to people listening in 2035. Feel free to cancel me.
So I'd have to come outside and shout at this guy, or not even shout at him, but really tell him, like, John, can you move your dog so my mum can come through the gate?
Right. But what I'm getting to is, it was that, were you always going to be a feisty person? Whether you've been born here, Glasgow, Lagos, Delhi, wherever you've been born, would you have had this disposition?
Astrologically, I think so.
She's ruled by Mars, bro.
Exactly, it's my ruling sign. It's my ruling planet.
Do you know what? Just to follow back on that, yeah? So me and my brother, we have completely different temperaments. I'm as laid back as they come. My brother, absolutely on smoke, full time. Like, he's made this thing a profession. Like, it's mad at times. But, like, I look at that, and sometimes I look at him and I'm like, how comes we grew up in the same house with the same parents? Yeah, and I've never liked this.
Shows it's inborn.
Yeah, definitely.
So I want to ask you this, Trav. How can you confront things but keep that chilled, relaxed air? Because that's what many of us, I must have Mars bars running in my blood from what you've just said, because I'm just full of it. I'm like a pepperami. How I perform live is how I am in live, racing around. Yeah. Not confrontational, but because I can't do gentle confrontation, so I'd rather do the ostrich. Are you good at, and this would be some practical stuff for anyone listening to this, good at doing confrontation in a chilled way, but not one that demeans or takes the strength out of your argument?
Yeah. Do you know what? I am. And I think because I've been in so many high intense moments in my life, various different experiences, you kind of get used to being able to get your point across and navigate without allowing this thing to tip over the edge. And I think what kind of, you know, gives me that confidence is that I've boxed for 10 years. And there's a discipline that comes with martial arts. When I look back to who I was before, like, getting into boxing, I'd probably say there was an insecurity that led to most of my fights. Because there's a part of me that wants to be like, what, you think I'm a dickhead? I'm going to show you right now, and everyone who's watching, that I'm definitely not a dickhead.
Let me just get my gloves on. I've been knocked out.
Let's get cracking. I've been training. Let me show you. Do you know what I mean? And that's what leads to it. Whereas if you kind of know, like, I'm around a lot of boxers nowadays. I've got a boxing podcast, and we get invited to big fights. So, you know, you see people like Derek Chisora and, you know, Joe Joyce, 6'6" monsters walking around, very calm individuals. So it's like, these are high professional violent people and they know how to be calm. So it's like, there's a level of confidence that comes with, like, I know what I could do should this get there, but we don't want to get to that. So for me now, I look at it like, if I get into a fight, you hear anywhere that Travis J got into a beef, I failed as a man in that moment.
So it's interesting what you're saying, Joe, because there'll be a lot of, I think one of the main things that men struggle with after the depression and not sharing and the suicide rate things that we know are uniquely male things, because the statistics sadly back me up on that, is anger management.
Yes.
A lot of ladies and men living with men who put holes in the wall because they can't find the van keys, for example. I mean, that could be quite a practical thing to try. Boxing training, if you've never tried it.
Absolutely.
That's something you could do, even on YouTube, get a bag or something. It doesn't need to be an expensive thing. That's a practical thing you could do straight away. Some of us were born with too much energy for our frame. I'm pointing at myself here, listeners. I've got the testosterone of 5 bouncers. I'm like Mo Farah on amphetamine.
You're not getting in, mate.
No, but it's you need that valve, and that's a healthy way to do it. It's great exercise. Good. So let's talk about the other way we can confront things. Say confronting a deadline, or confronting, you know, like a messy room that it's time to confront the messy room. Do you think, Kalecha, there may be a link between those of us who are quite sort of energetic and fierce when confronting things and our ability to confront our ambitions and interpersonal problems, i.e., you and I are probably more likely to be on it with a deadline than Travis. I don't know if this is going to be the case. Well, I've not checked, but I'm wondering if I wonder if the price you pay for having the chilled, not be confrontational, is you're less good at confronting deadlines, messy room, whatever it might be. What do you think?
I think that's really interesting. So for me, but I'm a major procrastinator. If I've got a deadline, that is when I'm baking. Oh my God, I will bake you the nicest cake. I'll cook the most amazing meal when I know that I've got a deadline. But the thing is, what I'm doing in my mind is I'm writing the thing. Like, I don't tend to plan. Yeah, so I'm working in the back of my mind. It's just allowing me to focus on something else. But I always meet my deadlines. I mean, I had something to hand in for a book and I did it like 5 weeks ahead because I don't like the idea of somebody being able to speak to me like a dickhead and being able to message me and say, I'm Kalecha, just letting you know, we're kind of waiting on you on this, just circling back. Don't ever circle back.
It's in reception, bitch. It's in reception.
Don't circle back to me. I like to handle my things in the head.
I submitted it 5 days ago. By the way, would you like some banana bread, bitch?
As previously stated.
Exactly my energy. I avoid conflict. I avoid confrontation by doing the things that I need to do so nobody needs to talk to me like I'm a dickhead. So I do get things done.
All right, we're going to take a break there. We'll be back with part two of this special discussion on confrontation. Please stop doing that hand signal, Kalecha. We have to take a break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.